Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to be in chapel with you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody awake? Everybody awake? All right. Be seated. Thank you so much. It is an honor to be here. All right. I join you. Glory! All right. All right. If your Bible doesn't flop, you're not a real fundamentalist. I'll just tell you that right now. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and it's good to look through these blazing lights right here and spot our young people around the auditorium. I love you so much, and it's great to see you. I hope you get to fellowship a little bit after chapel, and so what a blessing. I love this place. I did have one quick question for you, Brother King. I was trying to take in all the announcements, make sure I understood what responsibility. I just one quick question about that. Dating and off campus, if you are dating this semester, two people off campus can use the same form, or do you need to?
You gotta
hyphenate it. Okay, there you go. So, love the trees. Amen. Save a tree. But I'm listening to those announcements. I'm thinking, man, I love my college days. And I'm so thankful I don't have to. Keep track of those announcements anymore. But it is good to be with you young people. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that you have made this choice. We've got to have servants of God in this generation. We've got to. And we have a rich heritage, don't we? A rich heritage. And I thank God for it. Staff and faculty that are spotted around the building, thank you so much for your faithfulness to the Lord. And Brother Penns, I see you back there. Thank you so much for your faithfulness to the Lord. And many of you, Dr. and Mrs. Callan, God bless you folks. Miss Belinda, I saw you somewhere over there. I didn't know I was meeting your husband on the way in a while ago. And anyway, to all of you, thank you. Men on the platform, thank you for giving your life to train servants of God. I thank you that. My sister and brother-in-law, thank you all for giving your life be trained to serve the Lord. We've got to have servants in every generation. Amen? We've got to. We look at what's going on in the world, and we see multimillionaire basketball players complaining about how life isn't fair. And we say, good grief, you're free, you know? Look at you. Look what somebody gave you. We all do the same thing at home. We all do the same thing at home. We've been blessed. Amen? Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 10. Dr. Wilkerson called me a while ago, this morning. He's on his way to church. He said, I've got a radio broadcast in about 45 minutes. Would you join me? I said, sure. What he didn't know is I just cut my chin shaving, and it was pouring blood. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, help this bleeding to stop. And so here I was. Yes, absolutely, Pastor. I'd be glad to. And so anyway, 25 cents, I'll show you the cut on my chin after chapel. Man, I did that some time ago and was shaking hands on a Sunday morning. I cut my chin and was talking to one of the men on the way out, shaking hands, and I had, he said, Pastor, what happened to your chin there? I said, well, this morning I was thinking about my sermon while I was shaving. I cut my chin. And he said, how about next week, think about your chin and cut your sermon? So, anyway, Brother Mitchell already cut this sermon when he told me what time it had to be done. So anyway, Isaiah chapter number 10. Let's stand up for Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to read just one verse here. We'll turn to a couple of them. So Isaiah chapter number 10 and verse number 18. And let's start verse 17. The light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his holy one for a flame, and it shall burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day, and shall consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body, and they shall be as when a standard bearer fainteth. I hope you'll give me a little grace. I understand the context here of the passage is different than the way I'm going to make application. But that phrase captured my attention. And they shall be as when when a standard bearer fainteth. Turn over to Isaiah and chapter number 49, please. Isaiah 49. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 22. Isaiah 49, verse 22. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine head to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. And set up my standard to the people. Go to chapter 62, if you would, please. Chapter 62, verse number 10. Chapter 62, verse number 10. The Bible said, go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Lift up a standard for the people. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the best I know how, I yield myself to you and ask for the fullness of your Holy Spirit to help me communicate to these dear young people. Lord, you brought them here for such a time as this. If ever our nation needed such a generation, it is today. Please take the message, I pray, and seal it upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You'll not need to turn. I'll just read briefly. In Numbers chapter 10, the organization of moving the nation of Israel is mentioned. It says in verse 14, in the first place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah, and they were followed by the tribe of Issachar and Zebulun. Then the standard of the camp of Reuben is mentioned in verse 18, and they are followed by Simeon and Gad. And then the standard of the camp of the children of Ephraim, followed by Manasseh and Benjamin. And then finally the standard of the camp of the children of Dan, followed by Asher and Naphtali. And thus was the order of the movement of the nation of Israel. And each group had their standard, their banner, and it led the way. It was lifted up high. Others could see it, and it made clear, this is the way. Walk ye in it, as the prophet Isaiah wrote. And thus they were able to advance, and thus they were able to move, and thus they were able to go, and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, via the cloud of pillar by day and the pillar of fire by night. And that's how they took the promised land. And my dear friend, that's how every generation must take the promised land that God has for them. Every generation must have some standard bearers. Every generation must have those who will lift the banner high above the crowd. Yes, it'll make you a target. Yes, you'll get remarks. And yes, somebody will find reason to criticize you. But the whole unit moves forward because there is someone who lifts the standards that is clearly set, and people see it and they know. And this is which way we need to go. And to that end, I preach to you on the subject, when the standard bearer fainteth. Perhaps the greatest fallout to COVID-19 and its effects on the church in 2020 is going to be complacency. All the way back in June, Barna did some research and found that one half of regular church attenders had not so much as streamed a service even once in the past week. Only one out of three were viewing a service at least once a month, and one out of four who were viewing the services were essentially church hopping. And the assemblage and the accountability of a local church has taken a great hit. Some will not recover, and more than ever we've needed some folks that lead the charge. And I just got a question: if they don't come from here and like places around the country, I'm not sure where we're going to find them. And I'm here to challenge you this morning. I pray that God will burn something in your heart and soul, and that you'll not just enjoy the fact that someone burned away and paved a way and burnt a path for you, and not just enjoy what has been given to you. Thank God, I'm a third generation Christian. I'm a recipient of this sacrifice of others, and that humbles me to my soul. But I don't just want to be a recipient. I want also to give to those who come behind me, those of you that are sitting amongst here right now. For you, this way has been paved. For you, this torch has been given. And my heart's desire is that among this group, I know it won't be everyone, I understand that, but my heart's desire is that in this group this morning, that some will say, by God's grace, I'll be a standard bearer. I want to say three simple things. Number one, thank God for the standard bearers. Thank God for the standard bearers. We have a wonderful Christian school, and I thank God for it. in the early 1970s, when Independent Fundamental Baptists were just really perhaps at their near the epoch of their influence in our nation, Christian schools began to be started among those. In 1970, the year I was born, my father, thank you so much for your prayers. On his behalf, I extend that to you, Brother Randy Shook. Thank you for your prayers. But on that same year, he started a Christian school. Shortly thereafter, the state of North Carolina brought a suit against the Christian schools, and men were facing going to jail. My dad was among those, and they paid a price, and they took that risk, and they stepped out by faith. And how many of you went to a Christian school? Raise your hand if you would. Thank you. May lower your hands. Hey, we have some folks that bore the standard before us, and the things that we've enjoyed because of those who bore the standard for us. David was a standard bearer when he said to his older brother, "What have I now done? What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause?" David wasn't looking for the spotlight. David wasn't looking to lecture anybody. But that day there was a job that needed to be done, and no one else was willing to do it. And David said, "There's a cause. I've got to do it. No one else is going to do it." And David that day became a standard bearer. Thank God for the standard bearers. Daniel, it was thrust upon him. Daniel didn't look for a title. Daniel wouldn't look to get a book in the Bible after his name. But Daniel, when there was a need to stand, looked around and no one else was doing it. And Daniel said, "I'm going to purpose in my heart. I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to defile myself." Perhaps others have. Perhaps others realize that the accountability is not here. We're in a new land. Nobody will know. And it's not a big deal. It's just a dietary law anyway. But Daniel said, "I purposed in my heart, I won't defile myself." And Daniel became a standard bearer. Oh, let me say, number one, you ought to thank God for the standard bearers. Whether or not you are willing to be a standard bearer, you ought to thank God for the standard bearers. Our nation needs a big dose of gratitude for Abraham Lincoln and George Washington and John Adams and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, those who paid a price for us to have our nation. Our nation's founding fathers were standard bearers. The heritage of Independent Fundamental Baptists is a heritage of standard bearers. J. Frank Norris, pastor of the two largest churches in America, simultaneously fought the liquor traffic with everything in him, exposed corruption politically and in the religious circles, and he was hated for it. Man put a gun to his belly one time and said, I'm going to kill you. And he pushed him back, put his hand on his chest. He said, "I don't have time to talk to you. I'm busy." Kept on walking. He preached against the liquor traffic until he was absolutely despised. A saloon keeper, a crowd gathered on a corner one day. A saloon keeper was in a rage. Saloons were shutting down. And J. Frank Norris was preaching hard. And he swore that he was going to kill that J. Frank Norris. J. Frank Norris heard about it, went down there, pushed his way up to the crowd, said, "I heard you looking for me." He said, "I'm J. Frank Norris. I want to talk to you." Took the man aside, led him to Jesus Christ. The man shut down his saloon, and that man became J. Frank Norris's bodyguard. That's the heritage of our Independent Baptist movement that we enjoy. John Rice graduated as a Southern Baptist from Baylor University. He taught at Wayland Baptist College and was the heir apparent of that college. Would have been the next president, it was assumed. But one day he went to the Pacific Garden Mission and won an old drunk to Jesus Christ. Amen. And he preached, old John Rice, when he was young, he'd preach at the zoo, he'd preach on the street corner, but he won an old drunk to Christ, and he decided that winning souls to Christ was better than teaching. And so he had been to Baylor University. He got on the radio, and got on the radio station, 5,000-watt radio station, and it was about the time that Baylor University, Big Southern Baptist University, brought in an evolutionist. They were teaching evolution. Imagine that on a Baptist campus university, but teaching evolution. And so John Rice started preaching against him. He was a Southern Baptist himself, started preaching against the Southern Baptist College that was allowing evolution. And so the County Baptist Association kicked him out. Kicked him out. Hey, that's John Rice. Who was John Rice? I'll tell you who was. He was a standard bearer. J. Frank Norris was a standard bearer. I heard Brother Howells tell this story many times about Dr. Rice in a meeting that he was with, and some girl got up and had her skirt way above her knees like that, and she sang the special. Dr. Rice got up afterwards, chewing on the end of his glasses like he did. He said, "Well, now that hussy's done singing, I guess I'll try to preach a little Bible." You call that a standard bearer? You call that a standard bearer? Yes. Somebody stuck a gun in his stomach one time. He and Brother Hines were walking down the street. Stuck a gun in his stomach and said, "I'm going to blow your brains out." Brother Hines started chuckling. He said, "Well, if brains are in your stomach, Dr. Rice, you're Albert Einstein." Got him standing there with a gun in his stomach. Dr. Rice looked at him and said, "Son, you're not going to scare me with heaven." Who are these men? I tell you who they were. They were standard bearers. And listen, we need a revival of gratitude in our nation that we are free and men and women paid the price so we could be free. And we need a revival in Christian circles, in our independent fundamental Baptist circles, that there are some standard bearers who went before us and paid a price for us to enjoy what we have today. Bill Rice was a standard bearer. He was preaching in Canada and preached on a Sunday morning against liquor and against dancing and against drinking, about everything you could think of. Some well-dressed lady came up to him after the service. She had sort of a look on her face, and it was a reserved look and a little wrinkle right here in her forehead. And finally, she got up to talk to the preacher. It's her turn. She said, "I just got a question for you." He said, "What's that, ma'am?" She said, "Do you ever preach a positive message?" She said, "Oh, you're negative, the whole message, negative, negative, negative." He said, "Ma'am, listen, if you'll come back to church tonight, I promise you that I'll preach a positive message." That night, Dr. Bill Rice got up and said, "Folks, tonight I'm going to preach a positive message. Point number one, I'm positive I'm against liquor. Point number two, I'm a positive I'm against dancing. That's our heritage. You call that a standard bearer." You've read the stories. You've heard the stories. Dr. Rice, the senior night when he was offered liquor and said no, they mocked him and made fun of him. He joined the army. They pinned him down. A commanding officer said, "You're going to drink." They pinned him down, tried to force his mouth open and pour liquor down his throat. He said, "I'll not do it. I'll not do it. I'll not do it." Oh, listen to me. Hey, these are our standard bearers. These are our standard bearers. The man whose name is on this sign behind my head here was a man who came to a church, and his first youth activity was with the teenagers. They had already scheduled a new pastor going to preach to them. They all sat there in their bathing suits in the church. And boy, I'm not in Texas anymore. But that's what he took, and he took that church and enjoyed it for a while, and then said, "Somebody's got to lift the standard here." And he got himself by his own testimony, his own heart right with God, and he started going after it like it did in Texas. And God started bringing people and winning souls to Christ. And somebody donated a bus, and they started running buses. And some of the folks in that church said, in First Baptist Church, said, "We don't want that. We don't want that." And they said, "Hey, you get rid of those buses or we're out of here." And he prayed all night long. You know the story. He said, "God, I'll take the bus kids. That's what I'll do." And 7 millionaires walked out in one Sunday. They said, "We'll you won't be able to operate. You won't have the money." But he went on, and God provides for his own. Because he that lendeth unto the poor, lendeth unto the Lord. I'm just simply saying, listen, we're here because of standard bearers. We're here because of standard bearers. Number two. Get behind the standard bearers. Get behind the standard bearers. Paul said this, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Listen, this pseudo-spiritual thing about, "Well, I don't follow a man," that's not new to our generation. This pseudo-spiritual thing, I don't believe in man worship, that's not new. That happened in the church at Corinth. Some say, "Well, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos." Some say, "We follow Peter." Some say, "We don't follow any man, we follow Jesus." Amen. That's like the guy that doesn't want offering envelopes. You know why? Because he don't tithe. That's why. Can I say this, my dear friend? Somebody needs to get behind the standard bearers. Somebody needs to get behind the standard bearers. Can I say this? May I say this to the leadership that's here? And those of you, I'm talking to you as well, students, because you are the leaders of the future. You need to learn something. Listen, our enemy's not going away. Our enemy's not going away. All right? Our enemy's not leaving us. At every turn, he's nicking and picking at us. At every turn, he's trying to get us to weaken our standard and drift a little bit, drift a little. He doesn't have to do it. Listen, communism is the epitome of the Antichrist spirit. It is a spirit of consolidated power. Written into the congressional record back in the early 1960s were about 42 points of communism wanted to accomplish. You go back and read the congressional record, all but one of them have been accomplished. Without a shot ever being fired. Gradually, gradually, gradually over the years. May I say, dear student body, may I say to you, as God puts standard bearers in your life, maybe your parents, maybe a pastor, some of the staff and faculty, your pastor, Pastor Wilkerson, a godly man, you ought to get behind your standard bearers. Amen. You ought to get behind your standard bearers. Listen to me. Those in leadership, may I say this? It's always been a battle in every generation to do right. That's our heritage. And yes, it's a battle in this generation to do right. But let's fight the battle. If we don't fight the battle in this generation, it'll be lost. Little tiny nation of Israel is surrounded by our enemies. The nation of Israel only has to lose one battle, and they cease to exist. Can I tell you something? Truth and righteousness only has to lose one generation, and it won't be passed down. The next generation won't know what they don't know. Why? Because there was no standard bearer. There's no standard bearer. Which leads me to this, if I could say this to the leadership, and I say this very kindly. I don't consider myself in a position to be your leader, staff. But as way of encouragement, may I say this? Let's always remember this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you draw the line. You're going to have a battle. You're going to have a battle. See, here's the temptation. How many of you are going to be a Christian school teacher? Raise your hand. You're going to be a Christian school teacher. Okay? Let me tell you what you're going to face in a Christian school. You're going to go somewhere teaching a Christian school, and your pastor and the leadership are going to say, this is the way we're going to conduct our Christians. Okay. Now I better not ask that. I'll ask it. How many of you ever went to a Christian school that wasn't real Christian? Okay. Thank you. You can put your hands down. So here's what you're going to face, teachers. You're going to be in a situation, and you know, this is what our school stands for. This is what we do. But here's what's going to happen. You're going to make friends of those students. You're going to care about those students. You're going to weep over those students. You're going to invest in those students, and you're going to have a friendship with them. And there's going to be a part of you that says, "Well, yeah, I don't want to mess up our friendship. I don't want, and can I tell you something? Listen, I love you kids that are here from Bailey's Grove. I'll call you kids, but." But you know, Pastor loves you. I love you. And others that I've grown to know and love that are here, we love you. But can I tell you something? As much as we would love just to be your buddy and your friend, somebody's got to be the standard bearer. Somebody's got to be the standard bearer. And if you ever, listen, here's a temptation you're going to face. Your temptation is going to be this. Well, if we just wouldn't make such a big deal out of that, we'd all get along better. And we wouldn't have all these battles and all this fussing and all this fighting. Let me tell you something. Never a more satanic philosophy has ever infiltrated one of God's institutions. It is an undermining of the authority of truth itself. I got news for you. It doesn't matter where you draw the line, you're going to have a battle. My wife was in the beauty shop some months ago with a 28, 30-some year a school teacher from the public school. They got talking about things. She said, "Here, we got a new principal. And he's got the idea that if we don't enforce the rules, that everything's going to work out great." She said, "It's worse than it has ever been." I went on the high school, public high school website, and I looked at it. Guess what? They've got dress standards. They got dress standards. You know what they got at the public school? The same thing that we have at our Christian school. Same thing we have at Howells Anderson College. My challenge to you is this. Get behind the standard bearers. Then you say, "Well, you don't want to be a standard bearer. You don't have enough courage." I understand. You're going to get shot at. But for crying out loud, don't discourage them. Get behind them. Get behind the standard bearers. And standard bearers don't ever accept the idea we just move the line a little bit. You move the line, guess what? About 5 days later, you're going to have a fight right there. So you might as well just roll the line where it ought to be and fight the battle. Fight the battle. Be a standard bearer. Somebody in this generation be a standard bearer. Get behind a standard bearer. Listen, if someone bears a standard, you say, "Well, I just don't see it that way." Well, for crying out loud, keep your mouth shut then. Keep your mouth shut. If you disagree with a rule in this college, you ought to keep your mouth shut, and nobody in the world ought to know it. Of course we believe in individual soul liberty. Absolutely we do. But you... let me tell you what loyalty is. Loyalty doesn't mean you don't have a brain. That's not loyalty. But loyalty means this. You say, "Well, I feel differently about that." But you know what? This is not my institution. This is not my church. This is not my ministry. And I'm not going to do anything to undermine it. So what do you do? You keep your mouth shut. Some of you may think it's all right to smoke cigarettes. You don't have to answer me for that. (Clears throat) But if you do, you ought to keep your mouth shut about it. Anybody understand this? Is this, y'all getting this, aren't you? I think you are getting it. Man, I know some folks that have standards that I personally don't have. I have a good friend, some men who won't eat at a restaurant on Sunday. Some good men who won't go to a restaurant if they serve liquor. I know some good men that I know and love who don't like any slits whatsoever. Don't matter. I mean, your skirt could be down to your knees, but to your ankles. They don't like any slits whatsoever. You know what I do? I don't understand that. I'd get one of the other preacher buddies. That's so stupid, isn't it? Is that what I do? Are you kidding? No. No. Why, if somebody had a standard that raised a little higher than mine, would I? Why would that? Anybody with me? Why would that disturb me? Why would that bother me? Thank God for anybody who's willing to lift a standard. Amen. Listen, you need heroes that pull you to the right. You need in your life, Brother House taught us this, you'll spend 10% of your time trying to help people and pull them up. 10% of your time with people who are basically where you are, and 80% of your time with people who are going to pull you in the right direction. And you need people in your life that are going to pull you in the right direction. Listen to me, if you're not where you ought to be spiritually this morning, I can promise you that's what it's attached to. You did run well. Who did hinder you? Not what? Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Listen, you need heroes that will pull you to the right. Thank God for the standard bearers. Get behind the standard bearers. Lastly, become a standard bearer. Become a standard bearer. Get your own Bible convictions. And by the way, let me just say this. That's not the same thing as getting your own convictions. Let me clarify this. There's a little buzzword going around nowadays. I finally come to what I believe. That's not the point. The point is let's all get our own, say it out loud, Bible convictions. Amen. Yeah. Listen, the Bible is our authority. It is our standard. And someone's got to grab it and someone's got to raise it high. You say, Pastor, but I just don't see it. Well, this, you ought to thank God for those who do know the Bible and have taken the Bible as their standard and say, I believe what I believe because the Bible is the Word of God. I believe in short hair on men because of 1 Corinthians 11:4. I believe in long hair on women because of 1 Corinthians 11:15. I believe in modest length skirts and dresses on women because of 2 Timothy 2:9 and Deuteronomy 22:5. I believe in modest fitting breeches are for men only because of Exodus 28:42, 39:28, Leviticus 6:10, 16:4, and Ezekiel 44:18. I believe soft colors are for women only because of 1 Corinthians 6:9, Matthew 11:8, and Luke 7:25. I believe a kid ought to say yes sir and no sir, yes ma'am and no ma'am, because of Ephesians 6:1, Colossians 3:20, Exodus 20:12, Deuteronomy 5:16. I believe in respect for the aged because of Leviticus 19:32. I believe in modesty and propriety in the home because of Leviticus 18. I don't believe in using profanity because of 1 Timothy 6:20 and 2 Timothy 2:16. I believe in paying your bills because of Proverbs 3:27, Romans 13:8, Proverbs 6:6, 6:9, 15, 19, 20, 24, 22, 23, 26, 16, Ecclesiastes 10:18. I believe in hard work because of Exodus 20:9. I believe a person able to work ought to work, and if they're too sorry to work, they ought to go hungry because of 1 Timothy 5:8, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. I believe in obedience to civil authority because of Romans 13:1-5 and 1 Peter 2:13. I believe in capital punishment because Genesis 9:16. I believe in submission to God and resisting the devil because of James 4:7. I believe a man should love his wife with like Christ loved the church sacrificially, self-denying, deep, abiding love because of Ephesians 5:25 and John 15:13. I believe a wife should submit to her husband because of Ephesians 5:22, Colossians 3:18. I believe there are times when a man should submit to his wife because of Ephesians 5:21. I believe a man ought to have masculine mannerisms and a woman ought to have feminine mannerisms because of 1 Peter 1:15, Jude 1:7, and Genesis 3:19. And let me just say this. Let me just say this. If I can do this on purpose, then you can do this on purpose. Yeah. I don't believe a saved person ought to marry an unsaved person because of 2 Corinthians 6:14-15. I don't believe in Christian rock, Christian cigarettes, Christian booze, or Christian gambling because 2 Corinthians 6:17-18. I believe Jesus was masculine, not some effeminate long-haired hippie. He had hair on his chest, a beard on his face, calluses on his hands. He knew how to build a house, rebuke a hypocrite, flip tables, use a whip when necessary because of John 2:15, 19:15, 1 Corinthians 11:14, Mark 11:15. I think we ought to be like Jesus because of Romans 8:29. I believe in pastoral authority because of Hebrews 13:17. I believe in shouting, singing, praising, and saying amen because of every other psalm in the book of Psalms. We don't need to raise our opinion. We need to raise our standard. And our standard is the Word of God. And in every generation, not everybody's going to raise the standard. But my friend, in every generation, there must be some standard. And among this group, God is calling and trying to raise up some. Young people, listen, I love you to death. But if you can't stand up to your roommate, you'll never be a standard bearer. You won't be. Every generation has to have it. You take this book in your hands for a moment. Hold it just like this, please. Do you believe this is God's word? Do you believe it's true? Will you make this your life's authority? Will you submit to it? Will you lift it up? Father, please bless this generation. Oh God, we need them. The cause of Christ needs them. The truth needs this generation. Please, Father, may we see it was never someone else's opinion. It's God's word that we lift high. Please, Lord, do a work. I pray that in this service, Lord, be some young men and some young ladies will say, by the grace of God, I'm willing to be the one shot at, the one that receives a snide remark or two. But I'm going to lift the truth high. Pianist, will you play, please? Oh, let's stand up for Christ.